ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ वी आर डिस्कसिंग द लास्ट सेक्शन ऑफ द कठा उपनिषद। द लास्ट सेक्शन स्टार्टेड विथ यमधर्मराज is relating to us, letting us know that the Moola Karana, the cause from which the entire universe in which all of us are located, is that Parabrahman, and he gave the analogy of a huge tree. We had discussed this point very much. Now we will go to the next place. This is called Srishti or Upadana Karana. For any effect, any object in this world, we find two causes. One is called the material cause, another is called the intelligent cause. Since the whole world is one unit, and before creation only Brahman was there, necessarily it must be both the material as well as the intelligent cause. That's why in Vedanta it is called Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Now, logically it follows, when someone creates something, a manual is created, how that object should be maintained and what rules, regulations to be followed, what should be strictly avoided, etc. So, for this world also, there must be all these rules, regulations. It is not enough to create rules and regulations. There must be some power, superior power, to maintain the laws. These are called law maintainers, usually police or military or whatever we call it. This has been explained in two mantras, 2 and 3. Yadidam kincha jagat sarvam prana ejati nishrutam mahadbhayam vajram udyantam ya etadviduhu amrutaste bhavanti. Whatever there is in this whole universe vibrates because it has come out of that Brahman. Here Brahman is called as prana, and prana is the ground of every being. That Brahman is a great terror, like a poisoned thunderbolt. Those who know it become immortal. This is what we are talking about, the law maintainer. So, maintaining requires weapons, fear. Otherwise, people creating laws is not enough, but there must be some superior force to maintain them. Otherwise, the whole system becomes very chaotic. This world is running, the sun, the moon, the fire, the air, the akasha, the water, the clouds, everything in this world has its specific duties. If there was no one to maintain it, and then the whole world will come to destruction. In other words, sthiti or maintenance is not possible. If maintenance is not possible, the object will not remain, it will just break down, then the whole purpose will be completely spoiled, destroyed. But Brahman has created it with a purpose. Of course, strictly speaking, philosophically, that's not acceptable. Brahman being Purna, absolutely perfect, he cannot have any wants or he cannot have any purpose. purpose always presupposes that there is something the person lacks and so requires it. But that's why it is said in Brahma Sutras, entire creation is a leela. But even if you create a cinema, cinema also requires maintenance, dramatic element, everything. When hero and heroine and make love and villain wants to take away the heroine or threatens the hero, fights, sometimes he wins, but ultimately the hero has to be rescued. For that some power is needed. That power is called this Vajram, this great weapon in the hands of Brahman, and this Vajra is well known as the greatest fearsome weapon in the hands of Indra. Indra, in a way, the lord of the all devatas, maintainer of the law. He gives rain, he withdraws rain, he protects people. This is another aspect of Brahma in the form of Indra. So, it is mentioned in the third mantra, Bhayad Asyad. By the fear of the Brahman, Agnihi Tapati, the fire never loses its power of burning. And the sun, Bhayat Tapati Suryaha, the sun never loses its power of giving heat and light. Bhayat Indrascha, the Indra maintainer, he must give rain or he must withdraw according to the deservance of the people. Then Vayuhu, the air, it must blow and it must sustain. Here air means pranavayu, that which sustains, energizes, that is called vayu, that must do its function and it must never deviate from its function. Just imagine, if the wind takes holiday for a few seconds, every living creature on this earth will come to an end. Mrityuhu dhavati panchamaha. And this mrityu is called death. What is it here? We should not understand the death of human beings or other beings, but this is called layakarana. So, srishti compared to a huge tree, then this vajra is compared to the sthiti karana or the main law of maintenance, power of maintenance, and mrityu here, the last one, panchamaha, also does its job. What is it? It takes us back from where we came. That's why death is the greatest amruta, because it releases from all sorts of limitations, ultimately takes us to our constituent elements. That is what we have seen so far. But what is the purport of these mantras? It says, O man, you are not ordinary person, you are Amrutasya Putraha. Here Brahman is compared to Amrita, and every living creature is Amrutasya Putra. But of all living creatures, it is only the human body that is most suitable for spiritual sadhana, and only a human being can quickly reach the Brahma Jnana and become free from the trammels of Maya, limitation. Maya means limitation. So it is said, Swami Vivekananda, when he went to America, this was the greatest mantra he had given to billions of people, like Ramanuja saying Om Namo Narayanaya from the top of the temple Sikhara. So Swami Vivekananda, he uttered, remember, he is not an ordinary person quoting a scripture. It was his realization. He was one of the greatest beings. So great. How great? Sri Ramakrishna said, such a human being has never been born in this world before. If we have faith in Sri Ramakrishna's words, we have to believe that Narendranath has the greatest power. In that regard, there was a small incident. Once Swami Vivekananda, in his hurry to come down from upstairs, fell down and there was an injury, one can see that it is covered by his turban. So there was a mark is there even now. Sri Ramakrishna heard it and said, it's good, very good. Otherwise, Narendra has so much power, instead of helping, he would have brought destruction to it, ruin to it. He would have brought, instead of evolution, revolution. Now that mother has taken away much of his energy, whatever is left out, it is more than enough to do good to the whole world for a long time to come. How long a time? We don't know. But Swami Vivekananda himself said, and there are two conflicting statements. One statement said, I have given food for 1,000 years. Another says, I have given food for 1,500 years. So we can be fairly sure that Third World War is not going to come anytime soon. Otherwise, the teachings of Swami Vivekananda are not very useful if most of us have to die. So, in the coming mantras, we are going to get the sadhana. O man, you have come from God. I was mentioning, this was the mantra with which he initiated a large number of people or future humanity, but the place happened to be at the Chicago Parliament of Religions. Shrunvantu Vishve Amrutasya Putraha. That was the mantra he uttered. That is enough. And somehow that seed will enter deep into the depths of the unconscious, and it will take time, but it will awaken people, and that is already happening in some isolated individuals, but it is gathering momentum and force. It will be more effective in time to come. Now, everywhere in our scriptures, even in other scriptures also, it is unilaterally accepted that human birth is a very rare birth. For example, Shankaracharya categorically states, Durlabham trayameva itat devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshaya. And that fact is being highlighted in this last section of the Katha Upanishad. Naturally, the question that comes to us is that, is it only on this earth in a human form that one can do spiritual practice? Is it possible to do spiritual practice in other lokas? Because for Hindus, it is taken as an axiomatic truth. Axiomatic truth means eternally existing truth. In our scriptures, there is life after death and there are other worlds. How many worlds? Infinite. But usually they are classified as 14, Chatur Dasha. Or sometimes they are categorized as merely 3. Bhuhu, Swaha and whatever is in between is called Bhuvaha. So the rarity of human birth. That's why I remember an incident. One day, Niranjan, future Swami Niranjanananda, came and met Sri Ramakrishna, and immediately he was disabused of certain psychical practices he was following until then. For example, planchet, etc. And then Sri Ramakrishna directed his mind. So, Niranjan was very much influenced by Sri Ramakrishna, and in fact he was called a Nitya Siddha. So one day Niranjan came to meet Sri Ramakrishna at Dakshineswar. Sri Ramakrishna that day was waiting outside as if very impatient. As soon he saw Niranjan, he ran and enfolded him in his arms and then said, my boy, time is passing. This human birth is very rare. When are you going to realize God? And then later on reminiscing, Niranjan Maharaj says to us, even I am not having a headache to realize God. Why is this man so anxious that I should realize God? This is the reason. Because manushya janma is extremely rare. And Swami Turiyananda used to emphasize this umpteen number of times. So, another question I just now raised. Is it possible to do sadhana? Yes. Is it possible to do sadhana in Brahmaloka? Yes, it is possible. So, this question was discussed and categorically answered in Brahma Sutras. Yes, even devatas can do sadhana, but with the caveat, it is much easier to do it in a human birth than in any other world. That is also going to be specifically stated here. We will come to it very soon today itself. Manushya Janma, human birth, very rare in this world. We must understand the importance of human birth and utilize it properly. The first thing is to cognize the sacredness, the rarity of human birth. For crossing this world of transmigration, we need a special boat, and that is the human body. The cost of this expensive boat is, it is not easily available. Bahu janma krita bahu punya phalat. It is a great merit obtained through innumerable births and the accumulated result of all that punya phala is that human birth. But there is a caveat here. Okay, you got the boat, but it is very, very fragile. As Mundaka Upanishad tells, don't waste your time on prayers because adhridaha plavaha hete. Plava means a raft, a boat. So these boats are not permanent and so we should use it before it breaks down. If we do not realize, then it is very difficult. So one of our wise seers also said, this human body is the only instrument. You want to be yogi, that is an instrument. You want to be a bhogi, that is the instrument. You want to be a rogi, that is also the instrument. If a person comes to realize this truth, that in this very human birth, he can be released if he tries hard enough from samsara before he dies. That's being stated in the next mantra that we are going to be. In other words, man through sadhana can obtain God's grace, and God's through God's grace, he will be obtaining Brahma Jnana. Through Brahma Jnana, he realizes, I am not the body-mind complex, I am Brahman. And as a result, the Brahma Jnana phala, I become Jivan Mukta or Videha Mukta. It doesn't matter. But if a human being, a foolish, indiscriminating human being squanders this opportunity, he becomes fit only to take another janma, another birth. Yes, any number of births will be given until man reaches his goal, realizes he is Amrita Putra, he is a divine. That is true. Hinduism never says a man mugs in eternal hell forever. But is Lord Yama, he categorically states here, that there is no guarantee that he will acquire next birth, next birth, next birth, only human birth. It can be any birth, any body, in any of the 14 lokas created by the Lord. Not only that, if a man goes into the higher worlds, he will be drowned in pleasures, so that he will have no time, nor the samskara. But if he is drowned in the lower worlds, he will be suffering so much. He will be so much regretting. His mind will be so much filled with these negative thoughts. It is almost impossible to do any spiritual sadhana. For that, this karma bhumi, this is the best bhumi. That is why the Bhagavad Gita, very first shloka, this is called dharma kshetra, but it is also called sadhana kshetra, kuru kshetra. So, highlighting the golden opportunity of having a human body, human birth on this earth. So if one doesn't use it, he has to come back again and again, and there is no guarantee. So that is being highlighted here, even though we know it, but this should be repeated, because this is a mantra. What is the definition of mantra? Mananat Trayati. If we go on repeating this mantra, this particular fourth mantra, in the last section of the Katha Upanishad, then slowly we realize the rarity, the golden opportunity that we have been given here. Let us proceed to this fourth mantra. Iha ched ashakat bodhum prak sharirasya visrasya tataha sargeshu lokeshu shariratvaya kalpate. If a man is able to realize Brahman here on this earth through this human body, before the falling asunder of his body, before death, then he is liberated. Supposing he doesn't try, naturally he will not be liberated. What happens? If not, he is embodied again and again in any one of the created worlds. Iha, on this earth, in this very human body. Ashakat is capable, is able to what? Bodhum, to realize that I am Amrutasya Putraha, I am Brahma Putra, I am Brahman, I am the Atman. But when prak sharirasya visrasaha prak sharirasya, this body visrasaha, before its falling, that means before its death, prak before. Sharirasya visrasaha prak. If a person can realize his true nature, manifest his divinity, then what happens? Muchyate. We have to supply that word, muchyate. He becomes free and he becomes immortal. He attains moksha. There will be no more rebirth. Nachet. If that condition is not fulfilled, that means if he doesn't at least try, he may not get. So Bhagavad Gita gives the answer to Arjuna's dilemma. What happens? A yogi is striving, but before he reaches this knowledge of Brahman, the body falls away. Then will he lose all that he had done? I think in the sixth chapter we have got this one. Because the mind is extremely restless. Then Bhagavan assures him, there is no such thing. He will be born where? So if he has some desires, then he will be born in a wealthy family, but wealthy but devotional spiritual family. But if his desire is very less, then athava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimata etadhi durlabhataram. So he will be born in a purely spiritual family and he will strive again, and then he will reach his goal sooner or later. What is the point? If someone tries his level best to practice spiritual disciplines, even if the body falls, there is nothing that he loses. Next birth, he will be born in a spiritual family, in a favorable family, and he will get very grace of a good teacher or Sadguru, and takes up as his buddhi, discriminating faculty, grows up. Immediately, he will plunge into sadhana and he will attain slowly. It may take few more births. But if not, then what happens? Sargeshu lokeshu shariratvaya kalpate. Who is telling us? Yamadharma Raja through Nachiketa. What is he telling? Shariratvaya kalpate. A person takes a body, but he doesn't say what type of body. Sargeshu means not swarga. If you know a little bit of Sanskrit, please do not mistake it. Sarga means creation. So created worlds, not divine worlds. So it could be upper worlds. If he does punya karma, it will be hellish worlds, lower worlds. If he does evil actions, he will get a body. And he will get a body everyone will get a body until he will become a nobody by obtaining moksha. If a man is able to realize here and there, then before death, then he will be liberated. If not, he will be given chance again and again, but that chance given depends upon what the person does in this world. But Hinduism or Vedanta tells categorically, nobody is going to hell or even heaven permanently. So according to Advaita Vedanta, the only way for liberation is Brahma Jnana. What does Brahma Jnana mean? Not that we were ignorant by nature. No, we think we are ignorant. We were Brahman. We are Brahman. We will be Brahman. We are never set apart from Brahman. But our mind thinks like a person temporarily insane. I am a dog. I am Napoleon. But I am the President of America, Prime Minister of India, temporarily, until an apt psychiatrist comes and he cures him. What does he do? He merely destroys the wrong notion, and whatever was there already, it is restored. Our notion that we are ever free will never disappear, because that is our nature. So that is why it is said, we always want to live. Why? Because that's our nature. We always want to have knowledge and not ignorance, foolishness. Why? Because knowledge is our nature. We always want to be happy. Why? Because of our true nature. But if we are threatened by disease, COVID or death, then we feel that we must escape from it. If we are ignorant, we strive to get knowledge. If we are unhappy, we struggle very hard to get rid of that unhappiness. The most wonderful thing is that when a person is unhappy, he has to use his greatest wisdom. Otherwise, he will only heap more suffering upon himself to the existing suffering. So he will try, I am suffering. What is the cause of this suffering? What is the way to remove that suffering? So by finding out the cause and finding out the appropriate means to remove that the causes of suffering. Merely removing suffering is like taking a medicine as a symptomatic treatment, but unless the root cause is removed, we will not be better. At the beginning, every human being tries only to remove the symptomatic treatment, but he realizes that is a temporary solution, not a permanent solution. Then he seriously turns inward, and then whether it is for worldly happiness or spiritual happiness, he understands, I have to remove the very cause of unhappiness, and I have to sow the causes of happiness, I have to sow the cause of liberation. So this is the law of cause. What is Yamadharmaraja telling? That every being, human being, after death, he will be reborn either here or in upper worlds or in lower worlds. What is the cause? This is called, or this is controlled by the law of karma, karma siddhanta. I mentioned many times, this is the fourth pillar of Hinduism. The law of cause and effect functions in the world of this becoming and not in the realm of pure being, which is called Brahman. One devoid of the knowledge of Brahman falls a victim to the ever-recurring cycles of birth and death until he attains Brahma Jnana. So then the question comes now, what is the essence of what we discussed? Human birth is very rare. It is a golden opportunity for realizing God. Naturally, sir, supposing I die, supposing I go to higher worlds, I am not talking, I will go to the lower worlds. I am leading a good life. According to the directions of the Vedas, Karma Kanda, Purva Mimamsa, I am following Vidhi and Nishedha. I do what the scripture commands me to do, and I eschew, completely give up what is forbidden by the scriptures. So is it not possible for me? Then I will go to higher loka, maybe Gandharva loka, maybe Pitru loka, maybe Brahma loka. Can I not, after a little bit of, wee bit of enjoyment, continue my spiritual practices? That question is being answered in the very next mantra categorically. And who is telling it? Yamadharmaraja. Who is Yamadharmaraja? Not a human Sadguru, but a divine Sadguru. And he is in charge of death. He knows what is on the other side of the curtain we call death. He can see all the worlds that exist after death, what happens. So he is categorically answering. So we have to believe whatever the scripture tells, because this is the Upanishad. So what is Yama Dharmaraja going to tell? That supposing if one attains other higher worlds, is spiritual practice going to be practiced there? And is it a better way of practicing spiritual disciplines? Yama Dharmaraja categorically answers, yes, one can practice spiritual disciplines even in the higher worlds. It is possible, but the opportunity, the facility is not as good as in the human birth on this earth. Our earth and human life is best. This is being illustrated with some examples, analogies. True greatness of human birth is highlighted here. So it is said, the clearest vision of Brahman, that means clearest knowledge of Brahman, is possible only in this human birth and in this very life on this very earth. Why do I emphasize earth? Because there are other worlds are there. So the mantra number 5, yatha darshe tatha atmani. So tatha atmani, yatha swapne tatha pitruloke, yatha apsu pariva dadrushe tatha gandharvaloke, chaya tapayoriva brahmaloke. 4 different worlds are being mentioned in this particular mantra, 5th mantra, and 4 types of opportunities are being illustrated here, whether spiritual sadhana is possible, and even if it is possible, then which is the best place for continuing spiritual sadhana? The answer is yes, it is possible, but there are certain limitations. As in a mirror, so in the buddhi, as in a dream, so in the world of the fathers, as in water, so Brahman is seen in the world of the Gandharvas, but as in light and shade, so in the world of Brahma. So what is he talking about? Yatha adarshe tatha atmani. Yatha, just like adarshe, in a mirror, in a clean mirror, tatha, exactly in that way, atmani, in this human body, in the buddhi, intellect, purified by austerity, punya karma, virtuous actions, etc. And in other words, in that person's heart, which he acquired what we call sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, then he has developed an extraordinary spiritual wisdom. And for such a person, in his intellect, he can see Brahman as clearly as one sees one's reflection in a pure, clean mirror. That means it will be very difficult. Sometimes we see in cinemas, somebody is shown, and you think that you are seeing that person either dressing or doing something. But then after a few seconds they show, but that is the reflection in the mirror, the person is outside the mirror. So what is this? Yama Dharmaraja is telling, O Nachiketa, O spiritual aspirant, anywhere, anytime, that this human life, it the Brahma Jnana, that means the knowledge of Brahman. Remember in brackets, Brahma Jnana and Brahman are non-separable. Brahman means Brahma Jnana. Brahma Jnana means Brahman. So this Brahman, Brahma Jnana, is as clearly seeable as a reflection in a clean mirror when one stands in front of a huge clean mirror. Here mirror means intellect, what is called tapasya, sharpened buddhi, wisdom. But what about Pitruloka? We all believe there is a special loka called Pitruloka. Those who did lot of punya, they will go to this Pitruloka, and there, after enjoying for some time, the person may realize that enough is enough, now let me continue spiritual practice. What happens to him? Then he says, yatha swapne tatha Pitruloka. Yatha, just as swapne, when we have a dream, we can see everything so real, so crystal clear. But when we wake up and then recollect that dream, then first of all, it will be 10% clear. After a few seconds, milliseconds, it will be 5% clear, 4% clear, 3% clear, 1% clear. Just as if you just seen something and it disappears. So in Pitruloka, ancestral world, the world of means, it is possible to practice, but there Brahma Jnana will be just, why, what is the reason for that? Here Pitruloka means, we can also equate it with Svargaloka. So what is the reason? Reason is, the person's mind is so much engrossed in eating first class rasagullas, and they are what is called diabetic free first class sweets, etc., are embracing beautiful women, Rambha, Urvashi, Tilottama, etc. And mind you, there everyone is young, sweet 16s. Remember also, there is no disease, there is no fear of old age, there is no fear of what is called thirst and hunger, and there is no question of physically enjoying, just a thought, and that is the greatest enjoyment. In that Pitruloka, that's why it is said that Brahma Jnana will be like a dream object. That means it is not very clear at all. But even that is probably 15% better. But there is another world. It is called Gandharva Loka. Hindus believe Gandharva, Yaksha, Kinnara, Siddha, so many celestial worlds are there. And there are different classes, low class, middle class, higher class, upper class, and the kings of those worlds, all those things will be there. So there is Gandharva Loka. What is Gandharva Loka? According to Hinduism, those who are experts in arts, in singing, in dancing, and in playing different instruments, etc. So there was one great devotee of Bhakta, sometimes seen in the pictures along with Vishnu. He is called Tumbura. So he is also like that Gandharva Loka. So this Gandharva Loka, even if one happens to be Gandharva Loka, and who goes to Gandharva Loka? A meritorious musician or artist usually goes to Gandharva Loka. When such a person goes there and he wants to take up to spiritual practice, then is it possible? Yes. But there, even worse, maybe 2% Brahma Jnana, very, very unclear, just like that it appears. What is the yatha apsu? That means when a person has taken a bowl of water and looks at his reflection in that water. Remember, in the 7th chapter of Chandogya, Prajapati made Indra and Virochana look into a bowl of water, and whatever you say, that is Atman. And so people think that this Brahma appears, God appears to be very, very aspashta, not at all clear, as if moving water. I just imagine whether it is a lake, a river, a stream, a strong wind is blowing, waves are hither and thither being whipped up, and you look for your, you can see, and you can see your reflection also is moving along that waters. So one looks, this Brahman also, God also appears. Why does God appear like that? Because one's mind in that loka will be like that restless mind. Even if the mirror is steady, if you are whirling round and round, your reflection will appear only just like that. Then, sir, okay, I accept it. What about Brahmaloka? Says Brahmaloke, it is Chaya Tapayoriva. Chaya means shadow. And the Kaya, there is a body and there is a light and shadow. That means crystal clear, without the least bit of confusion, one can have Brahman knowledge. Then, why not we go Brahmaloka and do it? So, here, Shankaracharya comes to our rescue. Yes, 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 you can do that. But then, what happens there? In the Brahmaloka, which is reached by persons who follow Krama Mukti, Brahman is no doubt realized clearly, as distinctly, as light is separated from darkness. But it is reached only with great effort. This is what Shankaracharya tells. So, what is the lesson? One should try to realize him in one's own purified mind through special spiritual practices by being equipped with the fourfold spiritual characteristics necessary, and that is the lesson. So, it says, Yatha Swapne Tatha Pitruloke Yatha Apsu Pariva Dadrushi. Pariva means Pari Dadrushe Iva. Tatha Gandharvaloke, Chaya Tapayoriva Brahmaloke, that is, as in a mirror, so in the Buddhi, as in a dream, so in the world of fathers, as in water, reflection in the water. So Brahman is seen in the world of the Gandharvas, but as in light and shadow, very clear, so in the world of Brahma. Only problem is, Brahmaloka is so very difficult for anybody to reach. And Brahma Loka Ananda also could be a factor which affects us. That's why, when, oh man, why do you want to do so much of Punya Karma and then go to Brahma Loka and then do all those things? Right now, you are given the gift of a human body and this beautiful opportunity. This Mahamaya is so gracious, she gave us this COVID. Oh man, practice the third commandment of Sri Ramakrishna, now and then go into solitude and call upon him with greatest intensity. That is what we have to understand it. Then we are coming now to a most beautiful analysis, Panchakosha. Okay, I will do sadhana. Earlier it is said in the two mantras, Manushya Janma is rare, and why is it rare? That is explained, even if you go to higher worlds, and by implication it is meant, if you go to lower worlds, there is no chance at all. But even if you go to higher worlds, the difficulty grows. In Brahmaloka, it is possible, but very, very few who can reach Brahmaloka. But how many of us have reached this Manushya Loka? 7.5 billion people are already having this human body, etc. Then what is spiritual practice? Brahma Jnana cannot be attained without spiritual practice. God cannot be realized without spiritual practice. And what is spiritual practice here? Whether we are bhaktas, whether we are jnanis, whether we are karma yogis, raja yogis, bhakta yogis, or Jnani Yogis, whatever it is, the sadhana, spiritual practice, is exactly the same. What is the sadhana? What is our problem? What is ajnana, ignorance? I am not Brahman, I am the body and mind. What is sadhana? To practice slowly, I am not the body, mind, but I am Brahman. And the result will be, I know I am Brahman, I was Brahman, I am Brahman, I'll be Brahman. Every spiritual practice in the past, present, or in the remotest future boils down to only this thing. What is it? Everything is this get rid of body mind complex. So this body mind complex is divided into two convenient classes. According to one view, we have discussed sometimes Shariratraya or Avasthatraya. So Jagradavastha, Swapnavastha, Sushupti Avastha. Every time when I am in the waking state, I say I am the waker. When I am in the dream state, I say I am the dreamer. When I am in the deep sleep, I say I am the sleeper or Sushupti state. This is one classification. The other classification is Panchakosha. Exactly the very same thing, but this classification is a little more refined into five categories. Every personality, body-mind complex is called personality, is divided into five categories. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya. Whenever we are identified with the Annamaya Kosha, I am purely identified with the body. When sometimes I feel a little pain, etc., then I am identified with the Pranamaya Kosha. When I am thinking, cogitating the cons and pros, and then I am identified with the mind, Manomaya Kosha. And when I have taken, after thinking, a decisive, definite step, then I am identifying with the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And as a result of all this, when I do something and the result is very good, and always the result will be very good, because a person is deeply thinking, discriminating, and then coming to the right conclusion through the buddhi, and then he does what is right, eschews, gives up what is wrong, and the result will be punya. Punya brings only what is called happiness. Identifies, I am happy. Then what is it called? Ananda Purusha, Anandamaya Kosha. But all these are koshas. Why kosha? Because Anandamaya Kosha. The question comes, Anandamaya Kosha. Everybody wants Ananda, and this person is filled up with Ananda. What is wrong with it? Several things are wrong with it. The first thing wrong with it is, when we cross these four koshas, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, then what happens? That we enter into the Sushupti state. And in that state, it is purely Anandamaya. But what is wrong with that? Wrong is, how long can you go into deep sleep by yourself? No, it has to come and take you. You can't say, force yourself, now I am going to enter into deep sleep. The more you struggle, the more you will become awakened. And then once you enter, after that, how long you are going to be there is not determined by you, determined by that particular state. You will be kicked out and you will be tired. You will be forced to come out. That is why it is called changing situation. So this Ananda broken, then you wake up, you feel I am the body mind, and the, all the devils are waiting on the banks of the Ganga and hanging on the trees. That means all the worries, anxieties, and everything is hanging there. That is this coming and going. So that kind of just temporary happiness we don't want. But second objection, second problem is, there are what is called intensities, degrees of happiness. Just a person who is engrossed in five sense organs, this is called Vishaya Sukha. If he becomes a little more refined, that is called intellectual happiness, far superior, it is called Medhananda. And when that person acquires aesthetic sense, he becomes an artist, and that is called Kalananda. And that happiness is far superior to even intellectual happiness. And when a person understands and practices complete morality, dharmika jivana, satya, dharma, rita, these are the triangle of this dharmika life, then moral happiness, then he enters into dharmananda. So don't think dharmananda giving a little bit of help to somebody, there will be a little bit of happiness, but nothing compared to a person who is truthful, who is dharmic, and who follows only the path of truth, which is called Rita. So, this is also intensity, much, much higher than anything. When Sri Ramakrishna uses the word Bhajanananda, he is not talking about you and me singing and listening to some nice songs with some modulated voice. Voice may be sweet, you may be able to understand. But the tragedy is, most of the people don't pay attention to the meanings of the words. They only enjoy the tune, the shruti, and the sweet voice, and the accompaniments, rhythm, etc. But the meaning is, bhava is most important, that is the heart of the very music. When Sri Ramakrishna says Bhajanananda, he is talking here. Bhajana means sevaya. Seva means serving the Lord. Serving the Lord means following this dharma, satya, and rita. That is called Bhajanananda. But that is the much higher compared to the other lower three. But even that is finite, because it is accomplished by finite instruments, body and mind. But the highest is Brahmananda, the happiness of Brahman. So you have to be very careful here. Brahmaloka Ananda is the result of Bhajanananda. But Brahmananda is the result of Brahmagnana. What is the difference? Brahmaloka is temporary. Even if you accept Krama Mukti, it is only temporary rest house. After that, you leave it and go up. But Brahmananda, once you reach it, you become Brahman and you become infinite, Ajaha, Amrutaha, Nityaha, Shashvataha. That is our goal. For that, this Panchakosha Vivarana is being taken up. And what is the Krama? I'll just explain in this class very briefly, which we will take up in some detail in the next class. We have to get out. We are completely identified with Annamaya Kosha. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says, man is identified with his Anna. That is why it is for him Bhakti Yoga, as prescribed by Narada, is the only way. Kalikale Manush Annagata Prana. Prana means egotism. Annagata means identified with purely physical body. Most of the people identified. But first of all, you understand, there are two types of identifications with the body. What are the individual identification and cosmic identification? What is individual identification? I am so and so. I am such and such a person, male, female, of such and such an age, of such and such a height, color, weight, fat, thin, etc. And I have a family, I have parents, or I have children, I have my friends, I have my language, I have my religion, I am working in such and such a workplace, I am identified, I am a worker, I am an officer, etc. So this individual identification is the greatest limitation anybody can think of. Once a sadhaka realizes it, he has to deny this individual identification and gradually has to identify. If some hot plate touches me, I feel pain. If some cold something also touches me, I feel searing cold pain. So if somebody else touches also, the same thing happens. So I must be sympathetic with other people, because everyone who is identified with the body is her own body, exactly undergoes the same type of experience. And my sympathy is enlarged by identifying myself with that larger universal whole, and that state is called Virat. And that is the first step. So also there is an individual identification of prana, universal identification of prana, and there is individual identification with the mind, universal identification with the mind. Both individual and universal identification with the buddhi are discriminating faculty. So also individual and universal identification with the last, what is called Anandamaya Kosha. These are such beautiful topics. We will discuss in considerable detail in our next class. Om Sahana Bhavato Sahanao Bhunakto Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Me, Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.